This is Derek Bros. This is Derek Bros of the Conscious Resistance. I'm here in Standing Rock.
That man is wanted in 5 different countries: Chile, Argentina, Brazil.
We've been fighting a long time. We've all lost so very much. So many loved ones gone.
Don't you fucking tease that horse!
You are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Above all, stay alive. You have no idea how important.
Hey everyone, this is Derek Bros with the Conscious Resistance Network, and it's been a few weeks, maybe even over a month, since I've done news report, a video report, but things are coming to a wrap on the Greater Reset and some of my other projects as I prepare for the Mexico Activation Tour, and I'm getting back to writing articles for The Last American Vagabond, and I'm getting back to producing video reports for the Conscious Resistance Network. So before we go any further, let's go ahead and talk about theconsciousresistance.com. Guys, if you haven't noticed, we've recently relaunched the Conscious Resistance website and rebranded it Conscious Resistance 3.0, tried to make it much more navigatable, easier to find our investigations, documentaries, books, to learn more about agorism, and to watch my presentations, my talks. So I encourage you to bookmark Control D, theconsciousresistance.com. You can come follow us on our various social medias. You can see my documentaries and interviews and video reports I've produced over the last 10 years now. So I encourage you guys to check that out. But today's talk is focused on the United States government and the Canadian government accelerating their war on domestic freedom, domestic liberty, or the push towards domestic tyranny, as we're also calling it. Now, this is something that's been increasing since 9/11, but absolutely picking up pace during the Trump years in certain ways. With Trump, it was the framing of domestic extremism, domestic terrorism is left-wing ideology, Antifa and people like that. Now we're back to the white supremacists are the big scare, and anybody who is opposed to COVID mandates and vaccine mandates can be considered a domestic terrorist. Well, one of these areas has we've now got an update in it, and that's coming just about 10 days ago, February 7th, the Department of Homeland Security in the United States, they released this bulletin on February 7th, summary of terrorism threat to the United States, which they said is going to last from February 7th to June 7th, 2022 at 2 p.m. We should be on high alert. And what they're warning against is the following. It says the U.S. remains in a heightened threat environment fueled by several factors, including an online environment filled with false or misleading narratives and conspiracy theories and other forms of mis, dis, and malinformation, which they call MDM, misinformation, disinformation, and malinformation, introduced or amplified by foreign and domestic threat actors. These threat actors seek to exacerbate societal friction to sow discord and undermine public trust and government institutions to encourage unrest. Wow, it couldn't be that the government and all their tyranny and their lies and their stealing and robbing of the people, couldn't be that maybe that has something to do with the mistrust and the distrust of government and institutions? You ever think about that? Let's continue. They're saying this could potentially inspire acts of violence. Mass casualty attacks and other acts of violence conducted by lone offenders and small groups acting in furtherance of ideological beliefs and or personal grievances pose an ongoing threat to the nation. While the conditions underlying the heightened threat have not significantly changed over the last year, so that's one acknowledgement, they're saying nothing's really changed. However, the convergence of the following factors has increased volatility and predictability, and the complexity of the threat environment. And these factors include the proliferation of false or misleading narratives, which sow discord and undermine trust in the U.S. government, continued calls for violence directed at U.S. infrastructure, soft targets, and mass gatherings, such as churches, synagogues, and mosques, colleges, law enforcement, the military, the media, and they said calls by foreign terrorist organizations for attacks on the U.S. based on recent events. So they go deeper and further into here, and again, they're clearly saying things like extremist ideologies, false or misleading narratives, conspiracy theories, and let's get into what kind of conspiracy theories are they talking about. For example, there is widespread online proliferation of false or misleading narratives regarding unsubstantiated widespread election fraud and COVID-19. grievances associated with these themes inspired violent attacks during 2021. And they're claiming that foreign powers are trying to amplify these things. And so, again, let's go a little further. It says COVID-19 restrictions continue to decrease nationwide. Increased access to commercial and government facilities and the rising number of gatherings could produce increased opportunities for individuals looking to commit violence acts to do so, often with little warning. Meanwhile, COVID-19 mitigation measures such as COVID vaccine and mask mandates have been used by domestic violence extremists, DVEs, to justify violence since 2020 and could continue to inspire these extremists to target government, healthcare, and academic institutions. They also just go on, domestic violence extremists have also viewed attacks against U.S. infrastructure as a means to create chaos. So what you can see here is that for whatever real potential threats there might be, which I doubt there that any of these are really any kind of major threat that they're trying to make it be, you can see that the point is to tie people who believe in quote unquote conspiracy theories about the election or about COVID-19 or about vaccine mandates or mask mandates, that these are potentially extremist, violent, dangerous people. That for me is quite clear that that is the objective of this bulletin. And again, this was released February 7th, 2022. We're recording this on February 16th. So just about 10 days ago, and I don't think this is a mistake that we are hearing these kinds of announcements happen while at the same time you have the situation going on in Canada. So let's go ahead and now move on to talk about Canada. Now, I've been missing in action the last couple weeks, focused on the greater reset and things of that sort. So I haven't really talked about the Canadian situation, specifically the Canadian truckers, the Freedom Convoy, as people are calling it. I will say that I do think that the strategy is worth pursuing. Blockades, trying to slow society down, I think is a worthy cause, a worthy effort to raise awareness to your cause. I know there are some people who might be like, no, how dare they, right? They shouldn't be doing this. This is ruining people's lives. Or maybe people who even didn't like it whenever Black Lives Matter and other groups or left-wing groups or whatever might block the streets, they complain and cry about it, but now they're okay with the truckers. So I think there's some hypocrisy probably going on around there. But generally speaking, I do agree with these strategies. I think that if people targeted their protests directly at governments and blocked their homes and interrupted their lives, then we might actually see some, you know, some differences, some changes take place. So that's my thoughts, generally speaking, on what's happening here and what has been happening. Does that mean that I trust everyone involved in this or even know everybody's involved in this? Obviously not. I know there's a lot of positivity people are taking from it. There's a lot of positive things happening. I also know that these big situations, the ones I've been involved in at Standing Rock and elsewhere, they're very difficult to know who's all involved and to trust everybody. They're very difficult to know who's, you know, being infiltrated, and it's a sketchy situation. But with that said, it is absolutely getting noticed, and now the Canadian government is stepping things up. So just a couple days ago, U.S. urges Canada to use federal powers to end bridge blockade. And this is, of course, the bridge between the U.S. and Canadian border, which people have said the trucker blockade has slowed down parts being shipped from GM and other companies that are dependent on the international borders. But the Freedom Convoy blocked the Ambassador Bridge connecting Windsor, Ontario to Detroit and disrupting the flow of auto parts and other products. So the government, the U.S. government saying, hey, why don't y'all step it up and take things to the next level? Apparently Trudeau got the message, because just 2 days ago on February 14th, Trudeau invokes the Emergencies Act for the first time ever in response to these protests. And here is he's speaking along with Chrystia Freeland. There's Trudeau speaking. Chrystia Freeland, who is the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance in Canada. We're going to go ahead and play one of her speeches real quick. Two parts of her speech is actually right here. This is coming from my Telegram channel. I want you to hear this woman's words. Just check this out real quick.
We are announcing the following immediate actions. First, we are broadening the scope of Canada's anti-money laundering and terrorist financing rules so that they cover crowdfunding platforms and the payment service providers they use. These changes cover all forms of transactions, including digital assets, such as cryptocurrencies. The illegal blockades have highlighted the fact that crowdfunding platforms and some of the payment service providers they use are not fully captured under the Proceeds of Crime and Terrorist Financing Act. Our banks and financial institutions are already obligated to report to the Financial Transactions and Reports Analysis Center of Canada, or FINTRAC. As of today, all crowdfunding platforms and the payment service providers they use must register with FINTRAC, and they must report large and suspicious transactions to FINTRAC, to their relationships with anyone involved in the illegal blockades, and report to the RCMP or CSIS. As of today, a bank or other financial service provider will be able to immediately freeze or suspend an account without a court order. In doing so, they will be protected against civil liability for actions taken in good faith. Federal government institutions will have a new broad authority to share relevant information with banks and other financial service providers to ensure.
Wow. Okay, so let's just reflect on that for a moment. Again, this is Chrystia Freeland, Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance for Canada. And I'll just repeat what she outlined there, what Justin Trudeau announced when invoking the Emergencies Act in Canada. They're basically saying that they're going to track people who are giving to campaigns that are, they consider terrorism, like this Freedom Convoy, and that if you give through crowdfunding campaigns or through cryptocurrencies, she specifically mentioned, then you can be have your bank accounts basically seized or your money, you know, taken from you or kept from you for a while, which is, it's just insane. That is direct targeting of individuals. So the video today is focused on the push towards domestic tyranny. We just went over a bulletin from the Department of Homeland Security in the United States from February 7th saying that they're prepping the public for potential mass casualty violent attacks from white supremacists or conspiracy theorists or anti-vaxxers and things like that. Meanwhile, in Canada, they're basically saying that, you know, they're going to get more ingrained into crowdfunding, to cryptos and banks. And if you're funding movements which they say are dangerous, then you could be, you yourself could suffer. You could have your accounts taken away from you, your money taken away from you. And this is just, it's disturbing, but it's not surprising. Let me show you one more little thing here. This is from the World Economic Forum website. And look at you, wouldn't you know, you have a woman here listed that says Chrystia Freeland. This is the Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Finance for the Deputy Office of the Deputy Prime Minister of Canada. This woman who was just speaking with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau of Canada is a member of the World Economic Forum, as is Justin Trudeau with the Young Global Leaders Initiative. We all know that recently Klaus Schwab was bragging about that, how they can penetrate the cabinets of different companies. If not, I'll pull that up in just a second. But yeah, I mean, think about this, guys. This is, to me, this is the bigger picture. Whether or not you agree with the Freedom Convoy and some of the tactics or not, this is the big picture, is that now they're responding. You could say, oh, well, this was the whole reason they did the convoy, just so they could respond, problem, reaction, solution. Or you could say, no matter what we do, they're inevitably going to push in this direction. Either way, it's dangerous. And at least one organization is speaking up, the Canadian Civil Liberties Association. Don't know anything else about them, just saying this is what they tweeted out. They said, the federal government has not met the threshold necessary to invoke the Emergency Act. This law creates a high and clear standard for good reason. The act allows the government to bypass ordinary democratic processes. This standard has not been met. The Emergency Act can only be invoked when a situation seriously threatens the ability of the government to preserve the sovereignty, security, and territorial integrity of Canada, and when the situation cannot be effectively dealt with under any other law of Canada. Governments regularly deal with difficult situations and do so using powers granted to them by democratically elected representatives. Emergency legislation should not be normalized. It threatens our democracy and our civil liberties. So, some people speaking up. And then this is something I just found today in preparing for this video. This is kind of crazy, the timing of this. Literally just hours before I recorded this video, it's being reported now that four people have been arrested for conspiracy to murder Canadian police as part of the blockade. Isn't that timely that Trudeau makes this announcement trying to connect people? They've attempted to say that these blockades, these convoys are, you know, Nazis, etc. And then today, four men, Chris Carbett, Christopher Lysak, Anthony Olenek, and Jerry Morin, maybe these are real people, who knows, were arrested and charged with conspiracy to commit murder against the RCMP, Royal Canadian Mounted Police, the Mounties, on Tuesday. So that's kind of crazy. They literally make this announcement, and then conveniently enough, they have arrests in order to say, see, here's terrorism, here's extremists that we're talking about. And this article goes into the details of that. But I just find the timing of that to be suspicious. I would continue to watch it. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised then if in the coming weeks and months we find out there was some sort of RCMP infiltration or even just outright entrapping of people. And this is, I would highly doubt this is any sort of real terrorist threat or terrorist attack, just like with January 6th, just like with all many of the other things in the United States, the FBI creating fake terror attacks and then using that as justification to scare the crap out of the people. Like, that's just par for the course in the age of terror and now domestic terror. So both of these stories, I think, are highly problematic and things you need to be paying attention to. I wrote about this in the past. I've talked about it, that we're seeing the push towards dividing the home, the nation state, the U.S. and Canada, Western nations, all the nations around the world, to divide the domestic population, get them afraid of each other, and then at the same time, get them fighting each other, and use what you can to strip away their rights. And I just want to make one other mention. I did this report in August 2020. It's called The Danger of Labeling Your Political Enemies Domestic Terrorists. And it's about this push towards domestic terrorism and how, in my mind, that language of domestic extremist, domestic terrorist, it's the language of the state. It's not the language we should be personally using against each other. But I've seen this where right-wingers say, oh, Antifa, progressives, left-wingers, Democrats, they're all domestic terrorists. Let's round them up. And, you know, then the other side, people are like, oh, these alt-right Trump supporters, they're fascist, domestic extremist, enemies of freedom, you know, round them up. It's like people get so fueled by their dogmas, they're willing to let their quote-unquote enemies, or the people they've been told are their enemies, you know, let them lose their liberties and rights because, well, who cares? I don't like those people, right? But this is dangerous, guys. If you allow your so-called enemies to have their rights stripped away, then sooner or later it will be used against you as well. And I believe that, you know, that was the whole point of that video, the danger of labeling other people that you don't like their opinions as domestic extremists, domestic terrorists, etc. So don't use the language of the state. Recognize that the more we push and try to outmaneuver or overcome the state, they are going to try to demonize and discredit us. Demonize, demoralize, discredit, dissuade, divert, distract. These are the tools that they use. And we know this from documents leaked from WikiLeaks and Edward Snowden and COINTELPRO. This is how they operate, guys. So we should be very aware of that. And also just be aware. The government believes you are their enemy. If you believe in freedom and you're trying to fight against mandates and vaccines, they believe you are the enemy. And that they are going to continue to propagandize your country, men and women, brothers and sisters out there, to believe that you are the problem, that you are the enemy. And that's a very dangerous time to be. It's something we really need to think about. We need to really figure out how we can come together. We can build bridges and break down these walls. And my final point, I told you generally I do support people protesting the Freedom Convoy and that sort of thing. But as I posted recently on my, let me see if I can pull it up, my social media, Telegram, Facebook, Twitter, everywhere else I can, I posted some thoughts yesterday just kind of about this whole situation. And it wasn't meant to be like a poo-pooing or speaking against the Freedom Convoy, but I'm just going to share these last couple sentences here and then we're out of here for today. So what I wrote was that I don't believe that the convoy, the same as the lawsuits, protests, et cetera, that they will, you know, stop anything. They can serve to slow the agenda by sending a message that the people not go quietly. However, the Great Reset, the technocracy, Agenda 2030 are trillion-dollar agendas that will not disappear overnight or because of one protest or one movement. I remain steadfast in my commitment to the ideals of opting out, exiting and building better systems. The banks, the corporations, the government are making it clear they believe they own us. They do not respect your individual sovereignty or inherent freedom. They have declared war on the free people. So either you are working or contributing to an eventual face-off between the people and the authorities, which some people might say is inevitable, or you are standing on the sidelines paralyzed by fear and apathy. Or, here's a third option, instead of working towards violence or, you know, standoff, face-off with the state, or standing by doing nothing, you can recognize the answers to build something new and put your energy into building the foundation for the coming seven generations. Again, this is not to discourage protesting, boycotting, info sharing. All of these are important and vital. And if you have time and energy, push back however you can. Just be aware that all these options will at best slow down the path, slow down or divert the path, and force them to try new methods. And this isn't a defeatist mentality. This is the recognition that we have a very brief window to put our energy into laying the foundation, doing the difficult work of creating and or supporting new systems. And of course, that's agorism, that's counter economics, that's parallel systems, parallel networks. This is what I've been talking about for a decade now. And if you want to learn more about that, visit theconsciousresistance.com. Scroll down here to our three A's of agorism tab, and you can learn more about agorism. You can see my talks and my speeches on that. And yeah, remember guys, bookmark theconsciousresistance.com. That's where I'm going to leave it for today. I very much appreciate your support over all these years. I'm going to be back to reporting, writing articles, and then Miriam and I are going to hit the road for the Mexico Activation Tour in March and part of April. So there's going to be lots more content coming out, and I hope you'll stay tuned for that. Until next time, guys, remember, you are powerful, you're beautiful, and you are free. Peace.
Since 2012, the Conscious Resistance Network has been an independent media organization focused on empowering individuals through education, philosophy, health, and community organizing. We work to create a world where corporate and state power do not rule over the lives of free human beings. Our motto is leading by example and helping others in their pursuit of freedom. Visit theconsciousresistance.com to find our articles, documentaries, interviews, podcasts, books, and more. Remember, you are powerful, you are beautiful, and you are free.